Thank you, Miss Lori, and thank y'all for running around while we're shaking hands there. That's a great time, and we've already had a good service, and thank y'all for a great presentation, Brother Corner, and also the kids singing and your family. What a blessing, so we appreciate it very much. Take your Bibles tonight. We've been going through the book of Acts on Sunday night. We were in the first part of chapter 9 last week. We've been the last part of chapter 9 this week. So Acts chapter 9, I want to put in reading about verse number 20 and read down through verse number 25. I can't read Acts chapter 9 and that this story does not sort of ring a bell with me, touches my heart, and makes me think about my responsibility to the Lord, even to our church. And so I want to read you this little story that happened, a very unique story that happened in the life of a very unique man that we know as the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 9, beginning to read in verse number 20. If you found that place, would you say amen? And straightway he, that is Paul, preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. I'm going to preach to you for a few minutes tonight on the subject of holding the rope. If Paul was let down in a basket, somebody had to hold the rope while he was being let down. Now, we could spend a lot of time, we did a little bit last week on the first part of this chapter, in talking about the conversion of the Apostle Paul. It was a great miracle and a great pattern in that he was saved apart from baptism, apart from church membership, by simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I add this tonight? That it's the same way you and I get saved. We might not have a blinding light experience. We might not be knocked off of our animal, but at the same time, we put faith simply as Paul did in Jesus Christ and trusting him to take our sins away, minus church membership, minus baptism, because neither of them have any impact on the salvation of a soul. But faith in Jesus has all the impact in the world. There is the courage of Ananias when everybody wanted to have nothing to do with Saul of Tarsus. Later we would know him as Paul. When nobody else wanted anything to do with him because they were scared that he was doing some trickery to try to get others sucked in so he might slay them or haul them off to prison, somebody stood up for him and said, I will vouch for this man. Let's support him and do all that we can. The call of the Apostle Paul happens in this chapter. It's not just that he got saved. God called him almost immediately to do the task that he had before him, which was to take the gospel message to more than Jewish, those who had Jewish descent, but that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was for every man and woman on the planet, be they Jew or Gentile. Excuse me, the contempt of the enemy is seen in this chapter. These people weren't just mad at Paul for what they might call switching religions. They had so much hatred and so much contempt in them that they sought to do one thing, and that was they wanted to kill him. That's what we read about in verses 20 through 25. But then on top of that, we see the care of those around him that loved this man, appreciated him, and cared about the thing that God had called him to do. These are the people who I would say were helping him by holding the rope to let down that basket. Now, he's not the only person in the Bible that ever held a rope and let somebody down. You remember the story in the book of Joshua about Rahab and the spies, and they had a rope, a cord, if you would, out a window so that they could climb down and be delivered from the enemies. You might remember David's wife, Michal, who had a way of working with him and let him down to get away from his enemies by a wall. There's a wall, a basket, and a rope. And then, of course, Jeremiah had his own situation with a basket and a rope that delivered him from the enemy. The great message here is this: to escape the contempt and the murderous plans of the Jews, the Apostle Paul was helped by friends and supporters who were willing to help get him out of the city. They let him down, verse 25 says, that they let him down in a basket. In 1792, the year that Brother Kicklider was born, William Carey preached a message. He's known as the father of modern missions. He preached a message on hold the ropes. His sermon was based on Isaiah 54, verse 2 and 3. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen the cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. After the sermon was over, in a private conversation with some of his friends, immediately after the service, William Carey laid himself on the missionary altar, it is said, saying this to those men who gathered with him, that nobody knows their names. He said, I will go down into the pit if you will hold the ropes. And not long after that, June of 1793, William Carey left for India with his wife and their four children for 40 years of unbroken missionary service, and later became known as the father of modern missions. But I submit to you tonight, he could not have done it without some people back home holding the rope. I believe with all of my heart that the Apostle Paul, as great a man as he became, would have never lived to see that day if somebody had not been holding the rope. I think you could go through the Bible and find many people, not just the ones I've mentioned, but I think there are others that without the help, the aid, and the support of others, they could not have accomplished what they did without somebody willing to hold the rope. There was a basket through a window. A rope was extended, and somebody had to be willing to hold that rope. I submit to you that every child of God that knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior ought to be willing to get on board to help hold the rope for somebody. Now, I don't know that everybody holding that rope knew Paul was in the basket. Maybe they weren't sure who it was, but thank God that they held it for somebody that turned out to be someone who wrote over half the New Testament. What a testimony that somebody in that basket was somebody who's going to amount to something for God one day. So many things could be said about it. But I submit to you tonight that every one of us have a responsibility just like, listen, preaching ain't supposed to just be theological and doctrinal. Every now and then preaching ought to be real practical. I want to be real practical with you tonight. I believe everybody in here ought to be willing to help hold the rope for somebody. Maybe it's for this missionary family. Maybe it's for the missionary family who's here this morning. Maybe it's for Brother Carlton doing the revival. Maybe it's for somebody working down in children's church this morning. Maybe it's for me in the pulpit. Maybe it's for somebody beside you or behind you. Maybe it's somebody that's doing something on the mission field or somebody on the home field for God. But everybody, somebody got to be willing to hold the rope for God. I want to ask our usher, Dave, would you come out? I'd like y'all tonight. Would you help me hold the rope? Brother Dave's going to come forward and give everybody something tonight. I want you to just hold it if you would. It's just a piece of rope. It's not very much to it, but I want to ask you to hold the rope tonight. A number of years ago, I preached a message on this title, and I'm preaching a similar message on it tonight. As I said, I can't run across this part of the Bible and not think about it. Thank you, Brother Mike, for handing that out. As a matter of fact, in my notes right here, you'll see my piece of rope. Do y'all see my piece of rope? I keep it taped to this so that I can always go back and find that little piece of rope that I got the first time I preached this. The first time I preached this in this church was in 2002. Some of y'all were here then. Some of you were not here then. So I'm going to ask you to join me tonight and hold the rope. Has everybody got the rope yet? If you hadn't got a rope yet, would you raise your hand? We want to be sure you get one. Everybody get a rope. My message is very simple. I'm a simple preacher. I don't have anything real fancy to give you tonight. We gave out another piece of rope tonight. I got my new piece. You know, every now and then we need a fresh start. Every now and then we need a rededication. Every now and then we need to say, you know what? I've been holding the rope, but I want to hold it again, firmer, stronger. I want to be more faithful in it. I've learned this about the Christian walk. You can't just make a promise 12, 15 years ago and just never revisit that issue. You can't just talk about how you committed your... I don't care if you're quitting some sin or you're starting some good habit. Every now and then you need to revisit that issue, and that's what we're going to do tonight. As these people held the rope for Paul, I want you to hold the rope, but not want you to hold it just for me. I want you to hold it for other people. I want you to hold it for a missionary. I want you to hold it for a family member. I want you to hold a rope for your spouse. I want to hold you to hold the rope for your children. I want you to hold the rope for your family. I want you to hold the rope for your parents. I want you to hold the rope for your brother. I want you to hold the rope for your sister. I want you to hold the rope for your Sunday school teacher. I want you to be willing to hold the rope for somebody that plays the piano every week over here, and hold the rope for somebody that works a sound booth, and hold the rope for somebody that's willing to clean a toilet, and hold the rope for somebody that gets on the roof, and hold the rope for somebody that gets up and preaches the gospel, and hold the rope for somebody that gets up and sings in the choir. I just want you to hold a rope. Number one, anybody can hold a rope. It takes no special talent. Hold your rope up. You got your rope? I see in this audience tonight many of you that have absolutely no talent holding the rope. I just thought I'd share that with you, trying to encourage you. You can put it down now. It takes no special talent to hold the rope. There is no unique skill required. It's a simple willingness of the holder. You just had to be willing to take that rope from Brother Dave a while ago. Now, if you said, I don't want the rope, you'd be making a mistake, because you're needed to hold the rope. Dave brought them out. Brother Mike helped him pass these out. Listen, children can hold a rope. Teenagers can hold the rope. Adults can hold the rope. Did you know rich people can hold a rope? Did you know poor people? Any poor people here tonight? Would you raise your rope up just a little bit? Sure. Ain't no rich folks here. Brother Carlton Allen told us this week in revival, he recently had a deacon who was a millionaire that died and left their church some money. They don't know yet how much money it is. I'm praying that God will send us a deacon that has $1 million. Listen, that's what I got out of the revival. I don't know what y'all got out of it, but I would love for that to happen. And I hope that he'll love his preacher real good so that when he dies, I'm included in his will. But anyway, rich people can hold a rope, but poor people can hold a rope. Educated, any in here with a bachelor's degree, would you hold up your hand? All right, anybody in here that ain't got no degree, would you hold up your piece of rope? Do you see there? Anybody can hold the rope. It don't matter if you're young or old. Is any happy people here tonight? Would you hold up your rope, please? Is anybody here tonight sad, disappointed, discouraged? I'm about ready to throw the towel in, give. Hold up your rope. Thank you, Lindsay. I appreciate that so much. And she's not even as old as her mom and daddy, but she can do that. Anybody can hold the rope. You sit on the front row, would you hold the rope? You sit on the back row, would you hold the rope? Brother Mike, you're the only one back there. Anybody in between? Anybody in the retarded section over here, would you hold up the rope, please? Thank you. Anybody over here in the educated section, would you hold up the rope, please? Anybody here in these that straddling the fence and in the middle of the road, would you hold up your rope? Anybody can hold the rope. Point number two, nobody should let go of the rope. Well, wait a minute. I've held it long enough. Ain't it about time? No, you don't get. Can you imagine somebody holding on the we don't. It doesn't say. How long did it take to get him in the basket? Now, if it's me and some of y'all holding the rope and I'm getting in the basket, I'm like, whoa, hold it. Let me check the basket out. We ain't doing this in the space of 5 minutes. I want to check out the basket. I want to check out the rope. And if Bob Jinks is holding one end of it, I want to be sure he's not fixing to say, let's drop him. Let's just drop him. Let's see if he bounces. Yeah, around my neck. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it. What if he falls? He'll hang himself, you know. Nobody should let go of the rope. I don't know how long it took. I don't know how long it took to get him in the basket, how long it took to let him down. I don't know the process. But imagine if one, and then somebody else says, well, if you're going to let go of the rope, I'm going to let go of the rope. You ain't going to stay, I ain't going to stay. You ain't going to help, I ain't going to help. Sometimes, listen, I found this to be true. Enthusiasm is contagious. If I started laughing, before long, somebody else would be laughing. I start working, somebody else will be working. I start helping, somebody else will be helping. But I've also found this to be true. I quit. I ain't doing it no more. I found that's pretty contagious too. Well, if you ain't going to do it, I ain't going to do it. Well, I've held the rope long enough. Ain't about time somebody else held the rope. It's never time to let go of the rope. Hang on to the rope. Every person's effort counts. If one lets go, others may. A chain reaction could result, some kind of a domino effect. Everybody matters. There's probably some kids here thinking this. Well, I know it matters if my mom and daddy hold the rope, but it doesn't matter if I do. Listen to me. You little kids that said your Bible verses, you count. Some of you are the inspiration of your parents saying Bible verses. If they didn't have you to teach and feel like they had to be an example, some of you, your parents might just sorry out, not come to church when they ought to, and not get involved in Bible verses, and not get involved in serving God. You know, I found this to be true. When you are single, you look at life different than when you got young'uns. But when you have children, and I can testify when you have grandchildren, sometimes things get just a little bit more serious about what I ought to be doing for God. I'm quicker to let go of a bad habit because I got children and grandchildren watching me than when I'm just on my own and you have this crazy notion that I ain't hurting nobody. It's just what I'm doing. Well, listen to me. It does affect other people. You young people, you matter. Teenagers, you may be few in number, but you matter. Those of you that are 10, 11, and 12, kind of adolescent age, you matter. Hold on to that rope. Be faithful to your Sunday school class. It encourages a teacher. That's holding the rope. Be faithful to children's church. That helps that worker back there because it means they know they're there for a reason because you're there. I'm telling you, everybody matters. Young adults matter. Older adults matter. You that are teaching Sunday school or working in children's church or even working in our Christian school, you matter. Nobody should let go of the rope because what you're doing is helping somebody along the way. Point number three, somebody will be helped by holding the rope. Paul was helped. Now, some of y'all think, I'm afraid, I'm just guessing, but some of you think that this is a sermon in which the pastor wants you to make sure that you help him continue the work of the church and support him as he preaches and all that. Well, that's part of it. But that ain't the main thing. The main thing is this. Now listen to me very, very careful. Everybody holding the rope is helping our church. You're not just helping the pastor. Being here during revivals, holding the rope. Being in a prayer meeting is holding the rope. Passing out a gospel tract is holding the rope. Giving out a friend card, invite somebody for friend day, is holding the rope. All those things are a necessary part. Somebody's working in the nursery. They're holding the rope. Yeah, but ain't preaching more important? Listen, I don't think we ought to be gauging what we think's more important. Obviously, preaching, the Bible's important. But does that mean that singing and music isn't important? Absolutely not. Does that mean, listen, sometimes somebody's keeping a baby in the nursery so a parent is not distracted and then the parent can hear the gospel message better and easier. That's part of holding the rope. We could do without a sound system. I got a loud enough voice. We could cut it all off, turn everything off back there, save 3 watts of electricity. But that booth back there is important. Whoever does that job is very important. And not only the person's important, but the job that they do is important. It's this, somebody's going to be helped. When the sound men hold their rope, it helps the church. Are you with me so far? When somebody gives in the offering, it doesn't just, we don't take that plate and go in there, me and Brother Earl, well, you get one plate and I get the other, because if we did, I'd get the heavier plate. That's what I'd get. That's not what it's about. But everybody that gives, when you give, that's holding the rope. And somebody gets help as a result of it. But listen to me very carefully. It's not just the people you help by holding the rope. You help you by holding the rope. I'm going to be real blunt here. Some of y'all need a rope to hold because if you didn't have one to hold, you'd get sorry and quit coming to church. Now go ahead and get mad at me, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm trying to tell you the truth. Sometimes you need something. Years ago, I started teacher devotions with our staff. We have it every Monday. We have it every Friday. Now, I still have devotions myself, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. But we specifically did it then. Do you know why? And by the way, a number of our teachers have said, it really helps me that we have devotions because if we didn't, I might not do mine. Do you know why I started devotions? I didn't start it for them. I started for me because, Brother Jesse, I was so sorry that I felt like I would not do my devotions like I should. But if I do it to help them, I had to prepare a devotion. And in preparing, I did mine. And God used those things to speak to my heart. I think this is important. And if I could use for an example, Miss Lori needs that piano because it helps her stay faithful to her church. You ushers that ush, whatever that is, you ushers that ush, you need the ushership because that helps keep you on track. Somebody better say amen. I'm going to stay on this point for about 30 minutes. It just is this fact. You need it. Mike Dixon needs working with the tracks. Mike Dixon needs to go out there and fix the church sign out front because he needs, listen, everybody in the church needs something to do for the church, and it will help not just the other people. It helps you. Michael Brown teaches to the teenagers. And as that number goes up, goes down, whatever it is, it's good that he does it to help the teenagers. But it's also good that he does it to help Michael Brown. Maybe he doesn't study his Bible as much if he doesn't have that class. Maybe he's not as faithful if he doesn't have that class. Maybe he's tempted to quit if he doesn't have somebody to set an example before. Everybody needs to hold the rope. Listen to me. Anybody can hold the rope. Nobody should let go of the rope. Somebody be helped by the rope, even if it's just helping yourself. Number four. How many of these points you got? I ain't telling. Number four. Everybody ought to help hold the rope. Could I pose this question? Why should some not help? Why should some sit back and say, hey, I'm just a pew warmer. I don't want to hold a stinking rope. I'm tired. How about this? Well, here's why some people might not want to hold the rope. They don't like where they are on the rope. I don't get to be at the front. You'd be surprised. Wednesday nights we have outreach. First Wednesday of every month, which is coming up, isn't it? After Easter. First Wednesday of every night we have kids. We have outreach kids. We go in there and we have our fellowship meal. We set up the stamp tracts and pass out gospel literature. Some people take Sword of the Lords over to the jailhouse. We all do our witnessing that night. You know what I do with the young people? I get my rope out. And I take the rope and we all get on the rope in the kitchen in there, the cafeteria. And then I let them hold the rope while we walk off. Now, it's not to preach my sermon to them. I just do that so I don't lose anybody on the trip. Y'all know your children? I would lose Madison in the process somewhere along the way. Elijah would be on top of the drink machine around there or something. Ain't no telling. Todd would be out in the road waving down semis. Ain't no telling what would be going on. And let me throw Amy in there. Without a rope, she trips and falls down the steps and breaks another bone in her body. So there we go. So we all hold the rope. But you know every now and then what they do? They fight for who gets to be the first one in line. And then two or three of them boys, when Ethan was doing it, he wanted to be the anchor at the end, just hold it and sit down. I had to drag him out there, you know. It's funny how they'll fight for position on the rope. It doesn't matter where you're at on the rope, just faithfully hold the rope. Well, I don't get to hold the rope and get up there and be a special singer. There might be a reason that you're not a special singer. Well, I don't get to hold a rope and to be one of the greeters. You know how our men greet people out there. Not everybody's a good greeter. How you doing? Glad to have you at church tonight. Appreciate you coming. Where y'all live at? When you coming back? Well, thank you. Appreciate it. Now, when the offering plate goes by, we fill out that paper right there. Put your thing in the offering plate. Hope you come back to see us. Appreciate you coming. You got that kind of spirit. You don't need to be a greeter. You got to have somebody that's got a good personality. Or like Dave, pull a knife. Thank you. Get in there and sit down. Whatever. You know. I'm just saying this much. It's not the position on the rope. Some people say, some people won't hold a rope because of pride. They don't want to do something so trivial as holding a rope. I got to work in the sound booth. Anybody, any dummy can do that. Well, I've often thought that when my son-in-law's there, but the truth is, some people know how to work that stuff back there, and some people don't necessarily, but it's not trivial. I tell you what you think trivial is. You think trivial sometimes is somebody leading the singing. Couldn't anybody do that? Why don't you try it and shut up talking about it? Some of y'all walk up here, first time you walk up here and looked at their stony faces, you'd quit right then. You'd put on dark sunglasses because you couldn't see anybody. Listen, don't let pride stand away. It is not a trivial thing to hold the rope. You're setting an example. It means something. Some people won't hold the rope because of laziness. They're too tired to hold the rope, or they've held it long enough that they would like somebody else to take over. I'm just tired of holding the rope. Now listen to me. Everybody gets tired. The Bible warns us to not be weary in well-doing, because we'll reap if we faint not. Jesus said that all men ought to pray and not to faint. It's not a sin to get weary. But it is a sin to get weary and let go of the rope and say, I'm just too tired. I don't want to do it anymore. Some people won't hold the rope just out of pure sorrowness. Let somebody else do it. I don't have time, or I'm not willing. God help us that we'd all be willing. I would submit this to you. That's my final point, but I want to say this to you. What ropes could we hold? Well, first of all, you could hold a prayer rope. Well, I can't do nothing. I'm not smart. I can't teach. I can't preach. I can't sing. You're right, preacher. I'm not qualified for any of those things. Everybody's qualified to pray. Anybody can get through to the throne of grace. Anybody that's right with God, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. If you don't regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will hear you. I mean, listen, we know this from the Bible. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. You can pray. We can come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's a prayer rope. There's a witness rope. Get a gospel tract and hand it out. I watched on the screen here. You know, you don't have to have a college education to hand out a chick tract or hand out a gospel tract or give out a John and Romans. Most of the time, you don't even have to open your mouth. Just stick it out and somebody will take it. Act like you're deaf and dumb. And they'll feel sorry for you and take the tract. Just stand there and start crying. Pull off your handkerchief and wipe it like you're wiping a tear from your eye. Whatever you got to do and get them to take a tract from you. There is a Bible rope. Man, you ought to read your Bible. Good night of living. It's a shame that we got so much biblical illiteracy in our world because people depend on the preacher to give them everything from the Bible. I'm encouraged. Miss Jinx tells me every other week how she's doing some Bible trivia. And she gets some email or some kind of thing sent to her. You what? Well, let me preach. Let me do the preaching here. And what I'm trying to say is, okay, let me hit Miss Jinx over here. She don't know very much, but she's trying to learn more. She's holding the Bible rope, trying to learn her Bible better. See there, I wasn't going to throw down on that. You was throwing yourself under the bus, and I rescued you out from under the bus because we didn't want you to become a speed bump. Anyway, hey, how about the giving rope? Well, it don't matter. Hey, listen, this missionary family's going to get a love offer tonight because you gave. Other missionaries get help because you give. The lights stay on because you give. It matters. How about the worship rope? How about the family rope? Some of you ought to do this. Every parent in here do what Job did. Pray for your children every single day that rolls around for your grandchildren. If nobody else is going to hold the rope for your kids and grandkids, you ought to be doing it. Now listen, don't play with the rope. That ain't why you got it. Don't tear the rope. Don't criticize it. Oh, I hate this rope. It's not the color I want. I don't like it. It's unraveling at the end. I just don't like it. Why couldn't I get a bigger piece of rope? Why I got to get a little piece? Some of y'all done tore your rope in shatters already. It's the Brown family. I knew it would be them. But the idea of getting the rope is not to tear it up or to criticize it or to play with it or to lose it. I told you. I showed you. I still got my piece. From 2002, 16 years ago, I still got mine. I'm glad you do. Some of you others might still have yours after all these years. Ma'am? We did have that one. We did have one color. Mine was white. I guess I got the white piece. But I'll tell you this much. Don't swap it. Hey, Michael, give me your rope. You take mine. No, you keep your rope because that's your thing. That's your job. That's your responsibility. Don't drop the rope. Don't let go of the rope. Each person has their piece of rope tonight. That rope represents your responsibility to your brothers and sisters in Christ, not to the entity known as Faith Baptist Church. It's to your brothers and sisters in Christ that you hold the rope. It is for them that you hold the rope, and it is for God that you hold the rope. Somebody held the rope so Paul could get down in a basket. And if they hadn't done that, we would never have had the whole half of the New Testament. You never know. Maybe it's a little brat, if I could say it that way, in children's church. You just keep holding the rope for them. They might turn out to be the best preacher we've ever seen, or they might turn out to be a missionary on the foreign field. Hold the rope for your children, because if you don't hold the rope for them, they may end up in a miserable life somewhere because mom and dad didn't hold the rope for them. Hold the rope for your husband. Hold the rope for your wife. Can I say this? Please hold it for your preacher too and for our assistant preacher. You hold it for all of us. We need you. I want to hold the rope for you, but I want you to hold the rope for me. Let's all hold the rope for God.